So this morning, we're going to look at a phrase, and it's called put on, and it's also called put off. Now, we're good at putting off. We're not going to talk about that kind of putting off. You know, put off today what you're not going to do tomorrow or something. Or put off till tomorrow what you want to do today and all that kind of stuff. But, no, we're going to look at, we put something on when we get saved. We put something, and we're to put off. We're to get rid of stuff. Like I said, this is the stuff that's like, well, it's not physical. If we go to Matthew chapter 6, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll show you what I mean here. We're looking for something physical in all this, and it's really not. This is not the kingdom of heaven, physical kingdom, which I know some people still don't understand. Physical kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. It's not just this floaty thing up above the sky where God is, kind of a cloudy thing. No, it's the kingdom of heaven. It's this whole kingdom down here that he's created, the planets and earth and that kind of stuff. And we're living in a kingdom of God era, if that's how you want to use it as a word, era. And so our desire is the spiritual things. And the physical realm, we get rewarded for the judgment seat of Christ, if that was something that was done correctly and done right to please God. And like I say, does God care? Oh, yes, he really does. Does he care that we do? Yes, he really does. You know, why wouldn't he? Well, he got rid of the law. Yeah, well, does that mean he still doesn't care when we're doing something wrong? Does it matter? What is his standard he uses against us or for us or whatever? Well, we know what it is. It's Paul's stuff. But yeah, it's interesting thoughts I was having. Matthew chapter 6. So you go to the gospel time here, and you see that he talks about a physical putting on. And look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We've been here before. We're going to read it again. No man can serve two masters. Well, we already know that we have to have a job, and we have to have some kind of effort for income, and we have to follow a boss, for example. And yet you still want to follow God, and you still want to follow what Paul says, and you want to do the right thing. You want to please God and not man. And yet, we know the reality here is, well, that's good to say, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, we have to. So how does this fit? Is this one of those places where people go, well, that's just not right. We don't buy that one. That's not practical. Well, it's not. This is, you want to throw this out with why women ought not be working in the community or working in the workforce. Put it, I shouldn't say community. They can go out there and do things amongst the ladies and, you know, da 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 da. But we're in the workforce as such, because they have to have two masters. They're probably gonna take better care of their boss if they're a secretarial type thing than they will if they're than their own husband. And they're with that man more than they are with their husband. What about when you're driving down the highway and you know, we used to see the ladies running the flag carrier people. They slow down traffic and stuff. Now, more and more, I notice out here in South Dakota, we have more and more men running the flags. And there's those, I'm not going to say ladies, there's those females, those women up in the big equipment driving all that stuff. There's the lady over there with one of those jackhammer jobbers, you know, and oh, I'll bet you she's proud of those muscles, you know, kind of a thing. And you look at them in the gyms, and you look at, I mean, there's something wrong here. Yeah, they're not the woman they should be, but they have a different master. Which, can you imagine a man coming home from work or whatever, and his wife's coming home from the construction crew or cop, and they're always the ones that are trying to throw their power around. I mean, it's just out of natural. It's not the right thing at all. And how do you fit this thing? It says, no man can serve two masters. Okay, so we just quit working. And then God will take care of us. This is where everybody gets this. God will take care of us stuff. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Okay, well, let's just not worry about clothes. Let's just wear the junk. And listen, I'm telling you, people aren't wearing anything anymore. It's just, I it just bothers me. I don't know why it bothers me. It's not my problem. Take no thought for your life. Okay, then let's just grow up and let's just see what happens. Don't worry about what you eat or drink. And we don't. We wouldn't be eating or any of the stuff that's out there. Is not the life more than... Well, yes, it's much more important. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Okay. So Brian, quit looking for those fantastic jobs. God will take care of you. I bet you've had people tell you that. Oh, God will take care of you. You know, He'll give you the job. He'll give you the right place, and He'll give you the money and all this kind of... Well, you know, there it is in the Scriptures. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Our stature gets added more than cubits because we're not thinking when we eat, etc., etc. And why take ye thought for raiment? You know, what do you worry about clothes for? They're too expensive to buy modest clothes, so why don't you just put on something? Don't worry about the appearance. Don't worry about this modesty baloney. It's just crazy stuff. God will keep you covered. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Is that your problem? Is that because you don't have any faith? Serious? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now here is a great verse, verse 32, parentheses. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. On parentheses, with a smile, if you want to look at it that way. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Well, this whole thing is a kingdom of heaven era, physical kingdom. God will take care of his Jewish people. He'll take care of his people. And they weren't provided with very much, but they still were provided. And, for example, they're trekking through the wilderness. I guess this is even before the Gospels, but their shoes, sandals, whatever they wore, didn't wear out, you know, and stuff like that. And God will take care of these guys. But he just says right here, by the way, all these things that you're looking for, this is what the Gentiles are looking for. So there's your division right there in the Gospels. He's talking to his Jews. He'll take care of them. He'll provide for them, etc., etc. But the Gentiles, they always worry about this stuff. So here we are. Here we are today. We're Gentiles, obviously. We're Christians now, so we're not really Gentiles anymore. But we're of that Gentile background. And what are we always thinking about? Still, to this day, we're always thinking about clothes. We're always thinking about buying this, wanting to go get that. We need to get that. There's nothing worse probably on television other than the immodesty aspect of it is the fact that those commercials tell you what you need, and before you know it, you're needing it. And because we sucker into that stuff. It's us Gentiles that are concerned about the things. So does that mean we should throw out... No, that just shows our old nature as Gentiles. That tells us that that's the way we are. So here we are today. Let's just learn from that. Let's learn from the fact that we are different than the Jew, even though we're saved, because our nature is to want things, is to worry about this, is to worry about that. And you get these Christians floating around that don't worry about anything. I'll tell you what, the Christians that don't worry about stuff on the outside, one, is they're worrying on the inside, and two, they're probably rich. They can afford to buy these books. They can afford to go to these places. They can afford to buy these expensive, modest clothings. They can, you know, that, so why should they worry? They got a couple million dollars in the bank. And yet the people that have that kind of money, most of the time, from what I, not that I know very many of them, they always worry about the money. That's the way our Gentile old nature is. And so before we get to the put off, where Christ tells us to put off the old man, that's one of the things we need to put off, is not worrying about stuff. But we also have to realize that we can't just sit around and be the Christian and expect God to take care of us. And if there's anything I think that the folly of the Baptistic, my background, Baptistic religion, which is Lutheran before that, which didn't provide anything, not even any enjoyability, but the Baptist thing that I was brought up under was, yeah, do the right thing, had to throw that in there, and God will take care of you. So don't worry about the job stuff. Don't worry about saying the wrong thing. If God wants you fired, he'll let you get fired. So that's not, you know. So, yeah, we still need to get a job as best we can. We still need to provide some kind of an income. We still need to put on the right kind of clothing. We still need to eat the right kind of food, if we can ever muster up the brains anymore to keep track of that stuff. We need to take care of that raiment. We need to take care of our daily life. Now, realizing that we're just kind of winging here, we realize that when we do the right thing according to Paul's teaching from God, then he will reward after the judgment seat of Christ. So yeah, we still concern ourselves with the day-to-day walk because it will eventually come out of the wash into the judgment seat of Christ. Which brings me back to that question, does God care? Well, he really does. I mean, why would he say what he says about shamefacedness, for example, if he really didn't care? And I'll just leave that issue alone. People get tired of that. But it's just one of the biggest things that's going on around here. I was thinking the other night, exercise videos have brought Christian women rock music. They justify it by having the fact that you ought to dance to this rock music stuff to do the exercising. And exercise clubs and co-ed exercise clubs and stuff like that has brought immodesty to the Christian woman because they can justifiably need to go there, and then they start wearing the skimpier junk, and the little leaven does its job. So I remember preaching against that stuff. I guess it would have been 5, 7, 10 years ago. I don't know how long ago it was. And now all the Christian women and men, they don't care. I mean, they don't care. Do they care what people see? Do they care what they... No, they don't. I really believe they don't. But does God care? Is it just part of the fact, well, there is no law, all things are lawful? No, God does care. He doesn't like that. But you're not going to know about it until you read your Bible. And you're not going to realize it until the judgment seat of Christ. But that's a sincere Christian. And there's very few of those around anymore who really take the Bible seriously, who really take rightly dividing seriously, who really take the things that we've learned about the manner of life and try to apply them into our life. Not just the kindness and the long-suffering and the patience and the grace and that kind of stuff. No, I mean popping in that truth. I mean where you got to avoid something and you've got to stay away from this and you've got to stay away from that. And you're not just modest, you're shamefaced. You're not just quieter, but you're sober-minded. These are some serious times going on. Shamefaced, what is that? For those out in the web world that have never heard the word shamefaced, that's when you're beyond modest. That isn't just, that's beyond. And that pleases God. Does anybody want to actually live a life to please God? Because we find out, I'm just winging again, we find out in Romans chapter 8, now that we can, based on Paul's teachings in the risen Savior, are we still more concerned about the other person? Are we still more concerned about all the stuff other than what we should be? Do we finally wear out? Do we finally wear down and give up and just start? Because we've got to have something in our lives. We've got to take care of something. Well, God will take care of me. Not necessarily. He's given us the manual, but if you don't follow the manual, you know, is God going to take care of you? Yes, through following the manual. Is it like the law? No, it's not like the law. Oh, and on it goes here. So we're just realizing that that's our background, is to always be worried about this stuff. And yet we also realize in Paul, in our day we're living in, we need to take care of these things. We can't just sit around and expect this magic Jesus to take care of us. We've learned that. I think that's one of the things we know more about Paul than anything, is God doesn't expect us to treat him like the unknown God. He will guide us. He will tell us. He will tell you should you wear that or not. He will tell you are you being sober-minded or are you not. He will tell you that you shouldn't be going into that place. Come on, you can justify it all you want, but you know it goes against the Scriptures. Yeah, but see, all things are lawful, and da-da-da-da. You go down the whole list, and if it causes somebody else to stumble by looking at me, that's their problem. No, it's not. If I go here and they see me there, that's their problem. No, it's not. If I behave this way in public or with my family, that is your problem, husband or wife, or to be your whatever. These are tough days. I mean, if we're really at Romans 11:22, where when the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, which is only mentioned through Paul, then we must be almost done, because I'm telling you, people really don't care, and you know this, and yet they're buying these books about how to have a Native American garden so you get blessed with the spirituality that's in the design of your garden. Or trying to learn this labyrinth or whatever, that if you walk through this little labyrinth thing, it'll control your mental capacity. Oh, it's just like, this is weird stuff. It's very demonic-y stuff, you know? Anyway, so there's the put on that isn't meant to us. That's meant to the Jews. And he says there in 27, I think it was, or 30, whatever the verse was, that the whole thing, well, that's a Gentile problem. They're always worried about stuff. Well, we have to be today. Even today, we still have to be. You know, I mean, here's Cheryl. Sharon out there in Missouri, who had everything burned down, just like Brian, and she still has to go over insurance companies over that stuff. Is God going to take care of her? Well, she's got to find an income and something somehow, somewhere. And God has taken care of us. But I've always had somebody. I always had to have either, you know, send us some money as an offering, or so the brethren. God does take care of us, but He takes care of us with the King James Bible, and He takes care of us with the brethren. Some of you folks out there still send money to this ministry, it's a needful necessity to keep it going. Well, God will take care of it. Well, as soon as South Dakota kicks this new broadband law into effect here, we're going to lose a lot of federal funding, and we'll be happy, we'll be lucky if we even have internet out here. It's going to cost. So we know what's coming. Well, God will take care of us through the brethren, through the book. Otherwise, get yourself a job and make enough money to keep the thing going. And if you've got enough money to help, then you help. You help the truth get put out there. You see my point here? The modern Christian just, well, God will just take care of me. So everything they do, they think it's God taking care of them. And they justify the lifestyle that they're living. Okay, so that's the negative aspect of putting on. We should be concerned. Romans 13, let's get going here. Romans 13, here's some things we should be putting on. Romans 13, here we go. Hope that wasn't just a bunch of mumble jumble. It's based on observations, what we're seeing going on here, and what's going on in the gym, what's going on in the fishing world, what's going on out in this world out there. It's just, and how many of them say they're Christians? Then you get the Paul guys who really, you know, they are Christians, they are sincere about things, so they say, and yet they dress, they talk, they look, they act, they go places that they ought not to be. I think people really don't think God cares. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says this here. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. There you go. Put on the armor of light. First of all, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. What day is at hand here? Is the Lord coming back? What's going on here? Well, you got to look through the. I was doing a study on this thing quite a bit the last couple days, and first thought would be, well, he's got Jews in the crowd still. This is directed to Romans, Gentiles. We know that, and yet you go back to he's always mentioned in the Jews. He still mentions to them, and he knows that he's winding down with the Jews. That they're not going to listen to him at all. He's not even going to go to them. And we're like halfway through where he's cutting away from the Jews. So is he talking about the fact that, you know, it's just about time, Jews, that we're going to be done and God's not going to be preaching to you because you don't want to hear it? Well, that was the thought I had at first. But, no. you're just looking at the whole situation here, going on to 14 and going to 15. When he says there in verse 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day. This is time for these people to get saved. This is time for people to wise up, and their salvation, which is nearer than it was when they believed. How can that be? Well, because that salvation is going to come through eventually. It's going to be done. And Paul has to realize that, you know, we are running out of time. When our salvation is nearer than when we believed, we're getting closer to the end. And then people say, well, if that's the case, that was during Paul's day, then you get the crowd out there that says, well, see, he's already come and gone, and we're living in the millennium. That's their point now today. It's like, oh, really? So I look out my window and think, this is the millennium? I don't think so. But what he does say is he cast off the works of darkness. Cast them off. Get rid of the stuff. Okay? Well, you're a sincere Christian. What of these works of darkness that you did before you were saved, because now we're children of light, which we'll look at here in a minute, those things we used to do before we were saved? I wonder how many of those things we still do, only now we justify it because all things are lawful. Or what have we, let me ask you this, what have you cast off? What have we cast off? Have you realized that when you cast it off, how much hassle you get from the brethren, from your own family, from your friends, and of course, from your own flesh? What have we cast off? I'll give you as much time as the pastor gives people to confess their sins for the Lord's Supper. So we'll bow our heads and we'll spend some time of cleansing before we partake of the elements. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, maybe 15 or 20. You can hear a pin drop in the room. Okay, we're done. Whoa, excuse me. I've still got a whole long list to go here. That's okay. We'll just take it anyway. it's just so silly. But here, I'll give you time to write down the things that you've cast off. Time. I hope you would say, well, I didn't have enough time to write. I hope you've cast off some stuff. But doesn't it just, I guess I'm just kind of winging. As I get older here and doing this stuff, I guess I'm throwing more of my own opinion. I got to be careful not to do that, I guess. Because I know too many people that they may have cast them off at first, but they just find their way back. Or you want to cast them off, and your own brethren or family or friends or neighbors or work people don't let you cast them off. Or if you cast something off, you can lose your job over it. And Paul says, listen, you want to stay away from fornicators in this world, then you're going to have to leave this earth. And he says, not just fornicators, but it's fornicators and what is it here? My memory is just horrible here. It's up in the upper left verses there. I just throw that in, because it isn't just fornicators, it's a bunch of people here. Covetous. Well, who's that? Well, we know who covetous people want other stuff. We're so covetous today. Extortioners, idolaters. You can't turn off the tube. You can't do all these. That's an idolater. Different God in your life, yourself being your God. That's an idolater. So if you don't want to be around those people with your job, he says, for then you must needs go out of the world. So he tells us the next couple of verses. There, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, by the way, that it's the Christian fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, or drunkard, or extortioner. He adds a few that we're not supposed to fellowship with, the Christian one. And we go around looking for all these Christians for fellowship, and we realize they're all as worldly as all get out, and they're dressing horribly, tight this, short this, and swimming this, and they justify it because we're living in the day we're living in, you know, I have to do what I have to do. Oh, I get so tired of that stuff. Does God care? Yes, God does really care, going back to that whole stuff. But to cast off the works of darkness, it's like it's not even on the list anymore. But then he goes on. Let's get past that one. Let's quit whining about what you see. I'm no better. Which will give people justification to continue their doing. Some people like to watch you mess up just because it helps them mess up. Some people throw stuff on your life to prove that you're not a better Christian than they are. And it's pride. It's just pride. But then he says, let us put on the armor of light. Now, how do you put on... How do you do that? What is this armor of light we're supposed to put on? Well, let's look at some verses on light. Okay? Now, we know armor. We've got the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. So we know that that's our armor. And that armor happens to be none of it's ours. It's all his. Which I know you've heard me say this before. But maybe everybody hasn't that listens to this. The truth. Well, the truth is his words, the word of God. Okay, so that's true. Has to be rightly divided. The breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness? His. Not ours. It protects us. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Who's preaching the peace? Paul's peace. The shield of faith. Whose faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. Salvation. Salvation's his. We just trust and believe. He gives it. That's his salvation. We don't earn that thing. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's not just some knowledge from above. It's in our Bible. King James Bible. So there's the armor of God. But this armor of light, well, we know, conclusion is, putting on the armor of light is your King James Bible. That's what it is. Now, let me show you how we get to that point. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1:18. If you don't read your Bible on a regular basis, not just putting in your blessed reading in the morning while you're having your bananas and strawberries, I mean, you're actually reading the thing and studying it to show thyself approved, etc., etc. But Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's a prayer. Now, how does that happen today? How does that happen? Now, we know, just for the record here, we know that 1 Corinthians 13:10 tells us that those people saw what they saw because God allowed them to see it, and he opened their eyes. It goes back to Jesus, even to those two guys walking down the road to Emmaus, that he opened their understanding. He was in control of that. So, in Paul's time, through Paul and his Tychicus and these other guys, from God himself to these people, he would give them that understanding. Paul talks about that. But we know, and most people apparently don't know, that any understanding, any eyes of our understanding being enlightened, we have to be enlightened through this King James Bible. If it's enlightened from a sermon, it's because that sermon opened up this Bible and helped people see what they need to see. And yet, when you talk to people that don't read their King James Bible, they think that they're understanding tons of things. They think they've got all the right answers. They think that they have this understanding. No, you've got a wisdom, by the words and wisdom of men, understanding. Otherwise, you wouldn't be buying these books about Labyrinth and the Sacred Path and all the different books that people are buying. How many Christians have offered you a book about something to do with God? This is how they think you see. And if we continue to give people books about God, then we expect them to see without the Word of God. Their eyes will not be enlightened without a King James Bible. Well, they don't want to hear about a King James Bible. Well, as I guess, they're not going to have their eyes enlightened. And that's just the way it's going to be. We can't outmaneuver God to these people. Bottom line is, people need to have the truth, the King James rightly divided Bible, in order for them to see anything at all truthfully. Unless they're clones and they just believe what you have to say because they like who you are and they trust you and you just believe them. That works, but that doesn't work when things get tough. When things get tough and you've been taught something by me or by your pastor or something, and things get tough, we'll find out if you were following me or this pastor or somebody or your parents or whatever, or really it's just you and God. Will you stand on what's the right thing if it's you and God? Well, how do you know? Well, are you reading your Bible? Well, not really. Well, then you're not following God. You're following God's teachings from somebody else. But it's not going to last when the war gets tough. So this armor of light It's an armor. It's a protection. Eyes of our understanding. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to show you that probably all we're going to get out of this morning time-wise here too is armor of light. I can just tell. Ephesians 5:13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Well, we know that's true. I mean, you're sitting in your room at night and there's no lights on, and you can't see anything. So you turn on the light, duh, and you can see everything. So all things that are reproved are only going to be reproved because you see what they are. You light. To manifest the light. But he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, because you're following the light. Well, I'll save my comments. Let's just go to the end here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So Christ will give us the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's our light. It's the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? I know you already know the conclusion. Keep going. 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians 4:5. We're talking about the armor of light here. 1 Corinthians 4:5, is that what I said? Yes, 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then every man shall have praise of God. Well, we go to Hebrews chapter 4, and we see something about the Word of God. Okay. With what he just says there, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's funny, if you think about it, we draw the two-edged sword for the Bible, and the actual verse actually says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. We're not as sharp. Our Bible is not just our two-edged sword. It's sharper than one. Anyway, see the dangers of art? Anyway, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, which is just like it says back in 1 Corinthians 4. So the question is, where is the Word of God today? During the Hebrews, where was it? Where will it be? During the Gospels, where was it? During the Old Testament, where was it? Today it's the Word of God. It's the King James Bible. That's why we can still get the description out of Hebrews. And yet we know that we're looking at this, that which is perfect has come. So, there's that light. There's that light again. Look at Romans 2:19. Just about done here. Romans 2:19. Says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it, 2:19, da-da-da-da. I'm looking at 1:19. Here we go. Da, 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 da. And art thou confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness? There's your non-Bible reader telling people about the Bible. You're just probably a better person. You've heard some good wisdom, but you're not in your Bible. Why? Because that Bible is our armor of light. And lastly, Acts 13. Acts 13. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee, that's Paul, to be a light of the Gentiles. Okay, so you put those verses together, but you don't have to. We're not taking verses to prove a point. We're looking at these verses that prove a point. We don't have to manipulate these things. The point is, putting on the armor of light is to open up that Bible and start looking to Paul. There's your armor of light. And what you learn from your Bible, from Paul, trying to cast off the works of darkness, and to keep them cast off, not 3 years ago, I wouldn't go there, and now I'm going to because I have to. It's tough stuff. There's no doubt about it. Practicality with Paul is very difficult today because we are so perverted. We are so forced into the issues, you know, by jobs or by health or by finances or whatever. But it's still God's words. And it's an armor. If we need the armor to protect ourselves and to give us that strength and encouragement, you got to get into that book. You've got to look to Paul for that strength. I think one of the things I remember getting a long time ago was when, in fact, we even talked about it last week, I think it was, where Timothy and Titus, God, you know, Paul says to these guys, when Timothy and Titus showed up, I hope that you welcome him. I hope you're happy to hear from him. And it'll make his day and it'll make my day, Paul says. And I just realized that the application is the books of Timothy and the book of Titus. How many of you Christian ladies really enjoy, not just because mentally, because you actually are fulfilling what it says, the things that Timothy and Titus talk about to us? Do you enjoy reading about the working? Do you enjoy about the modesty stuff? Do you enjoy the mouth? Do you enjoy being sober? Do you enjoy those things? Titus chapter 2. I'll just look at it for a minute here. Ladies, do you enjoy trying to walk a holiness life? Not in a gospel fashion. Do you enjoy not being a false accuser? Are you kidding? The gossip that comes out of the ladies? About as bad as the men anymore. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things, sober, love their husbands, love their children, discreet, chaste. Do you enjoy being that way? Do you enjoy that? If you have a struggle with it, where do you go to get your strength? You go to your King James Bible and you pray, of course, because as he tells us, always take a request before him, but the response will come from your Bible. There's your armor. The hard thing is, though, you know, getting into that Bible, he's going to tell you to cast that work off. It's a work of darkness. It's the way the world does it. You cast that off and put on that armor of light, and that's a lot to do with your manner of life as Paul. Sure, all things are lawful, but if it's not the right thing, it's not expedient. Does it edify, or does it tear down a teaching? Does it cause someone to stumble? Are they watching you too close? Is that their problem? Well, they're going to cause them to stumble. None of their business. Well, you know, Paul says in 14 Romans that if these people are weak in the faith and you cause them to stumble because of whatever you're doing or whatever they see you doing or whatever, that's your problem. Oh, I can live with it. No, we are all going to be really disappointed at our judgment seat of Christ. I could have gone to my judgment seat of Christ yesterday and I was 2 feet away from it. Nobody in a million years would have rescued me from that river. And if I'd have fell that direction and rolled once, I would have rolled in like a stone rolling into the river. Turtle bait in 15, 20 seconds. That's all I can hold. And the judgment seat of Christ was next. It can happen to any of us at any time within the next couple seconds. So, this manner of life, we need to keep that armor of light, not just the armor of God, Ephesians 6, but the armor of light. You've got to stay in that book. And Paul, I'll say it one more time, in Acts 13:49, I've got to look it up because my worthless little memory is not working worth a diddly bean. And he says, Lord told to Paul, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. And actually, I mean, look at it. I just noticed this. Look really close. I've said thee, he says, for so hath the Lord commanded us. That, in this case, this is Paul and Barnabas. Well, we know Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, etc., etc. He's the apostle. He's not just an apostle. He is the apostle for this time. And he is our light. Now, this armor of light then makes us the light of the Gentiles as well, through Paul, through a King James Bible. And if ever we live or do or say or something publicly that everybody sees or sees you change or sees you after you've cast off those works of darkness in the past, but now you're putting them back on. People see that. You're showing them a false light. And see, the responsibility we have as a Paul-following Christian is more than just all things are lawful so we can do what we want, we can try to do better, blah, 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 blah. No, we are the light of the risen Savior in our walk. And it isn't just that we're walking sinninglessly. It also shows people that when we do mess up, that somehow they need to realize that Christ has taken care of that. Does that make sense? People don't need to just see us do the right thing. They need to see us, if we do something that's wrong according to the Scriptures, that we still deal with it. We don't just ignore it like a modern Christian. Anyway, so that whole thing about the armor of light pretty much took up the morning. We'll just continue it tonight. It's not a problem. That's the armor of light. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. We know today, the night is far spent. The world's been around for all these years. The day is at hand. Seems to be getting closer. But he's talking about his salvation. Our salvation will come to fruition in the time when we're dead and we end up going to be with him, et cetera, et cetera. And the same thing was for those guys during Paul's day. There you go. We will pick it up again tonight.